Exodus chapter 14. I look at a verse here, and we sang at the beginning tonight, leaning on the everlasting arms. I wonder, what does it take in our lives to get us kind of not trusting the everlasting arms? We sing about it and we say, yes, I believe in God, He is the Almighty God, but I wonder, over the last couple of years, maybe in your journey since you've been saved, you kind of feel those everlasting arms and you sing about it, but well, you're just an uncertainty. I just don't know. Is that going to hold me up? Is that going to be sufficient for me? And the Lord often will bring us into those kind of settings because it is in our weakness that we'll know God's strength. I want us to just look at that a little bit this morning, or this evening, looking at Exodus chapter 14. Let's start out in verse number 13, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. And here it tells us, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for your merciful patience with each of us. And even when you bring us into weakness, you patiently deal with us, even though we get, many times we get agitated, we get fearful, we have a tendency to sometimes think, I don't know if the everlasting arms of the Lord are going to be sufficient right now. I'm going to have to see if I can find something else to be leaning on. But oh God, tonight I pray that you would encourage our heart through the pages of your word to give us a fresh confidence in the everlasting arms of the Lord. Lord, help me to be a blessing. I pray that you would help me to be very accurate in giving forth your word tonight. You know the needs of each of our hearts here. Lord, I need you. We all need you. So meet with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We see there, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. You know, sometimes we get an idea in the head. We get an idea. And I think the children of Israel, and going back even to Moses at the beginning of the book of Exodus, perhaps he thought that the journey would be, we're going to get to a nice large land. We're going to get to a place that it's a promised land. It's a place, a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh boy, this is going to be wonderful. Perhaps it's going to be a journey on a well-groomed trail. Sometimes you have bicycle trails. I don't know that putting the bicycle trails in the street like I sometimes see, I don't know that I'm so comfortable with that, but they have the bicycle trails there, and all the cars are just supposed to know there might be bicycles here, and you're supposed to give them all the room that they need. But even off the trails and out into the jungle areas, you have these well-groomed trails. I wonder, did Moses and the people, and even us, do we sometimes get to thinking, now that I'm a Christian, now that I have my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have a life moving along on some well-groomed trails where there'll be some pretty sights along the way, and everything's going to be nice and smooth, and there'll be some water stops along the way. There'll be some park benches I can stop and get a little rest. And this journey is just going to be really glorious. It's going to be simple. A journey that we can make it in our own strength. Now, when we get there, we're not depending on the Lord as we need to. If I can do this, I got this thing figured out. Our youngest daughter just got engaged to be married just a little over a week ago. And boy, that's the seventh one of my children. every one of them, it's been a journey. Okay, now this is my baby. Lord, help me. I kind of like her to stay close by to help me out. I realize I'm not like I was when I came here in 1977. Things have changed a little bit. But yet, she needs to get married. And so I was on a journey on that. And that journey really took me with one young man. It took me over 2 years from the time that his dad first contacted me. And I said, Lord, is this the man? Is this the one that you have designed for my daughter? I needed that. I needed to understand. I need to trust in the Lord. Just because Louis got married and Nelia got married and Matthew got married and Caleb got married and Jeremy got married and Andrew got married, it didn't mean I had it all figured out. Oh God, this is my baby. I need you. And that is where God wants to bring us to so often. Lord, I need you. God, I'm trusting you. Lord, I can't make it on my own. Lord, I need you to guide me and direct me through this. And he's going to do that with each of us, whether it's in trying to find the right mate for your perfect child or something with the whole environment that has come upon us in these last couple of years, to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been leaning on you as I ought to. Lord, I'm anxious. And God says, fear not. Oh, come and know me. In our weakness, may we get to see and know the Lord. And so here the people have this idea. I'm going to be going on this journey, and everything is going to be nice and easy. But we need to know of the strength of the Lord. Chapter 13, back over to Exodus chapter 13. We'll kind of stay in this area for just a little bit. Chapter 13, back up a little bit. Verse number 16. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Going down to verse number 18 and 20. God led the people about. And he says, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Wilderness. That doesn't sound like the well-groomed pathway that maybe they were expecting. Oh, yes, we want to get out of Egypt. We want to break away from those harsh taskmasters that we have there. We want to get away from all that slavery and making all those bricks and building their buildings and all of that that forced labor that was coming upon us. We want to get away from that. And here, as they have the opportunity to get away from that, God leads them. It was God. It wasn't some accident. We don't know where to go. We don't know which way we should go. Okay, we've got the opportunity now to get away from Egypt, but we haven't been out of here. Which way do we go? And God led them on the way of the wilderness. God had to keep reminding them about their weakness, so that they would realize it is the Lord that is bringing us forth. Notice there in verse 18 there, God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Harnessed. What does that mean to you? They went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now, I'm not old enough to remember what it was like to harness the wagon or the plow to the horse. Now, my dad, he had stories about that. Get the harness, this apparatus that would be put onto the horse, and the horse would be having an instrument, a vehicle that needed to be pulled out in the fields, or a wagon, and that the horse was harnessed. Here he says, the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. They had the opportunity to yoke up with Jesus Christ. Today we have the opportunity to be yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be harnessed. Sometimes we think about the harness and we think, oh, that's restricting. Oh, that is something that I don't want that harness to be on me. I would rather just kick up my heels and figure out which way I want to go. But if we don't allow ourselves to be harnessed to the Lord, Satan, sure enough, is willing to harness us. We're going to be harnessed to something. God had to say, fear not. There was the tendency to get harnessed to fear. And I understand, and I didn't have this experience myself, although in working with the Navajo people, when I first got out there and began to live on the Navajo Nation, they still had some horses and wagons, and I didn't see this happen, but I heard the story about a man that had his wagon harnessed up to the horse, and he had his barrels of water on the wagon so he could go to a place where there was a little spring, get some water, and bring it back to the sheep. But the horse spooked. And boy, a horse harnessed to a wagon that is spooked and fearful, you don't know what's going to happen. Boy, that wagon goes bouncity, 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 and that the more that wagon goes bouncity, bouncity, and the barrels are falling off the wagon, the more the horse is spooked, and that horse is just going more wild and kicking and kicking, and soon the wagon, it just rolls over and it gets dragging. It's dragging along there, and the horse is just going faster and faster. And the guy that's trying to control that horse is thinking, I want to get off this ride. And we're going to be harnessed by something. Harnessed. God said, you can harness to me. You can connect to me. You can trust me. Yes, we're going to a wilderness, but trust me, it will be all right. Do you find yourself in a wilderness sometimes? You find yourself sometimes in the Christian life and you think, God, did you forget about me? God, why is this coming into my life? And it's the very thing we need so that we can know more of God and be reminded to lean on His everlasting arms. God led. Go to chapter 14, verse 4. God said something else. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. It's one thing for somebody in leadership, somebody in power, to have a hardened heart. But then God did it. God took the government and put in the government a hard heart. Now, I pray for our government. I have people that I have come to know about over these last couple of years, and I pray for them. I pray that there would be a working like Nebuchadnezzar had, that Nebuchadnezzar finally came to the place where he said, I know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. Wouldn't that be something if a man by the name of Joe Biden that we have gotten to know about would get to the place where there's a God, there's a God that exists in this world, and people, we need to recognize there is a higher authority than I am. There's a higher authority than those of us that are ruling in the affairs of man. But yet, even in that, I don't know that Pharaoh ever got to that point himself where he said, oh, God's ruling. Now, he had a lot of opportunities to realize those Israelites, they got a God that he's pretty real. He's pretty powerful. I better not push against him any longer. But yet, I don't see that Pharaoh ever embraced that in his heart. The God of Israel was the God that he could trust in and the God that he could give respect to. So he says, God said, I'm taking on this journey. I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Do you see, God's desire is that people would know that he is the Lord. How's that going to happen? If the people that your lives touch, if the people that my lives touch, if the people of the Navajo people are going to know that the Lord is the Lord, that the Lord is God, how is that going to happen? Is that going to just be somehow there's going to be a lightning bolt, there's going to be a writing in the sky, and somehow they're going to see it? Or is it going to be as I am leaning on the Lord in my own time of weakness? God said, I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh. And through that time, you'll be able to see the working of God. Now, I think about a man, Cain Healy. About 1997, came to a church service. We had an evangelist there preaching, and he sat near the front. He went home after the service in the evening, and he told his mom, I got to get back. I got to go back here to the church. This business of hell, this business of the judgment of God, I'm not ready to meet God. I'm not ready. And so as a young teenager, he came back to the church. And oh, what a joy it was there after that service where the Lord was so convicting him. He put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has completed 10 years of preaching to his own people in another church in a community about an hour away from us in Gallup, New Mexico, preaching to his own people and reaching him. He has 6 children, raising them up to follow the Lord, to know the Lord, loving those people and bringing them into a walk with the Lord Jesus. We need to know our weakness. Verse number 9 of chapter 14. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. They didn't lift them quite high enough, but it says they lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. We must know our weakness in order to come to trusting the Lord. Now, they cried out to the Lord, but even in that, they were still struggling. And they began to get some ideas in their head. And by the way, these kind of ideas didn't help them out with their faith. These kind of ideas didn't help them out to know that there was a God. Notice there, they start talking about this. They're sore afraid, and they say in verse number 11, they're speaking to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? What are you saying? I wonder, do we listen to what we say sometimes? Do we sometimes, when we get fearful, and we say, Pastor, I don't think that the Bible is working for me. You preach those messages on trusting the Lord and having confidence in the Lord. It just doesn't seem to be working for me. And they're saying here, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. It was not that long ago when they were under hard bondage. They were serving with rigor. Really? We want to go back to that again? And it wasn't as though the Egyptians had pounced upon them and had were grabbing them and chaining them up. They just saw the dust off there in the background. Oh no. Oh, here they come. Oh, Red Sea in front of us. We can't run. There's no place to go. Oh, our resources. We've come to an end of our resources. Oh, are we really saying we give up? Egypt, you can harness us however you want to harness us. Egypt, you Egyptians, yeah, just take us off. We shouldn't have left. We should have just stayed back there. And so easily we can get back there. But the Christian life is a life that is needing us to trust in the Lord, have a faith that begins. Really, salvation has to begin at weakness. If you think you can get to heaven somehow, if you think that there's a ladder you can climb, if you think there's enough prayers you can do, you can get on your knees enough, you can crawl enough, or whatever you might do, you think you can whip yourself, you think you can do something in order to earn your way to heaven, you can somehow do enough good works, you can't be saved that way. Our works are not sufficient, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. We've got to be weak even to get saved. But the Christian life, to progress in the Lord, we need to know I'm weak, but God is strong. God is sufficient. Harnessed to God. It was about 25 years ago, we did a vacation Bible school in another community that we went to, did a five-day vacation Bible school, and before the vacation Bible school, I went through the area and was visiting there, the homes of the people. And one of the homes I came to was there was a Navajo grandmother there, and I saw that there was a young boy that was playing under the tree. He had some little blocks, he had some little cans, and he was pushing them around, making believe that they were cars, and he just had a good time just playing with the real simple things. I got down alongside of him in the sand there underneath that little pinyon tree. And I said, we're going to have vacation Bible school over at the chapter house. That's the kind of the community meeting hall. And I said, next week we're going to be having a vacation Bible school. We'll sing some songs. We'll have some fun stuff. And he didn't have the faintest idea what vacation Bible school was all about. I went up to the house and talked to Grandma and said, we're going to do vacation Bible school. I'll come by with a bus and we'll pick him up if that would be okay. He came on Monday. Came on Tuesday, came all the way through the week, and the last day, he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had kind of lost track of him. His grandmother was taking care of him. He really didn't grow up in a real solid family. Grandma was caring for him, and I lost track of him until a couple of years ago. He came to where I was at, and he said, now it's coming together. He said, God used you in a vacation Bible school at a community called Casimiro Lake. I trusted the Lord there, and he said, God has called me to preach. Now, he got off track. He got off into some things that was not good. But the Lord was following him from that time of trusting in the Lord as a little boy. The Lord followed him. And another pastor got with him. And he got excited about Jesus Christ. And we've had the wonderful privilege of working with him over the last 2 years, right on through the COVID, of helping him start a church, seeing people get saved, seeing people get baptized, seeing people start up another new church in an area near us there on the Navajo Nation. God's doing some wonderful things on the Navajo Nation, not all by me. I've done a little bit of plowing. I've done a little bit of preaching and scratching the surface. But I see last summer, took a couple of young people to a camp, a youth camp, about 2 hours away from us. There is another pastor on the Navajo Nation, was burdened for having this youth camp, took these young people, and it was amazing to see God work in that youth camp. Every night, the altar was full. The young people, these young people got on their face with God. These young people said, oh, I've got to get saved. Oh, I need Jesus. Other young people, by the end of the week, said, God is calling me to be a preacher. These are Navajo young people that are saying, oh, God wants me to preach. I had the opportunity a couple of months ago of teaching in a Bible institute there in the Navajo Nation where they're training up leaders. Four men were in that class. Four men that said, oh, I can't wait. God has called me to preach. I can't wait until I can start a church. I can't wait until I can see people come together in a congregation such as you have here and see them to grow to know the Lord. I hope it's all right with you, but I'm praying that God would do a work in even starting a revival right here in the United States that would start out with the Indian people. Wouldn't that be all right? If it starts out right here with us pale faces, that would be okay too. But if God would use the Indian people, and there's a movement going on in the Navajo Nation, I'm excited about it. I don't want to miss it. What God is going to do and what God is working at, breaking out among them. And then also I've heard things on some of the other Native American people that God is doing a work. I don't know that there has been a major revival among the Native American people, to my knowledge, a real widespread reviving. But may it be that God's going to do that before he comes. The Lord is doing some great work. Thank you, and you can be praying with us on that. We need to give God all honor. Verse 17 and 18 in chapter 14, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. All honor needs to go to God. What is it going to take in our lives so that somebody else sees the salvation of the Lord? Notice again that verse that we started out with in verse 13. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The salvation of the Lord. Who is it? They're watching you. They're watching me. There are people along the way that need a gospel tract, people along the way that we need to witness to so that they'll see the salvation of God. One man, Moses, he said, stand, fear not, stand still. And that ignited faith. They were able to go forward. You're one person. But you're very important. One person with a faith that stays set on God can ignite a faith that will spread out and spread out and spread out. Don't give up serving the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these truths. You bring us to weakness so that we can see your strength. Oh, God, work in each heart. Is there someone here that they know their weakness? There, it's obvious a weakness has come. But oh, I pray that we would understand what it is to just trust you more completely and go forward in victory. Bring the soldiers and the witnesses that we ought to be to bring honor to God. Oh, Lord, help each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.